Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're talking Oscars, Black Panther ruling the box office once again, and probably what will be the highlight of 2018, Amy Cassandra will unveil a new Twitter handle. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show that looks back at the box office that was. And then we'd like to...
Prognosticate.
Woo! I don't know what that was.
Me neither, but okay, spontaneous. Fun, yeah. Yes. Well,
I was here for support.
Hey. Yes.
I was here if that could happen.
All about the box office that lie ahead. I'm Frank Moran, one of your hosts.
My name is Carrie Lane.
And I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And I'm Steve Kaufman.
That's right, Steve Jordanson. Tonight, Neil Plumley is ill. So he's away, but we have Steve Kaufman, I think an award-winning Oscar expert in his own right.
Pretty much.
That was breakdown.
You dressed up. I appreciate it.
Also, yes. Temple film grad. You just swapped out Temple film grads.
There you go.
Neil and myself, both same alma mater.
So, Frank, I'm afraid you didn't get the dress-up memo. Or you just didn't care.
I didn't care.
Yeah. Well, he got it. I watched him get it.
Nope.
Yep. No interest. He'll be lending his considerable knowledge in regards to the Oscars as we break down the winners for that award show. So we'll hop right into it there. The Oscars.
Woo!
There we go. Oscar. Jimmy Kimmel back once again. Warren Beatty. And
Faye Dunaway
handing out the last award of the evening as well. So look at that. Everybody enjoy the awards?
Yes.
I watched some of it.
I watched it. It was
a
lot of fun.
Got the highlights, you know.
Already, the headline is already reading that Jimmy Kimmel's monologue was, mixed reaction, undesirable. Like, they make up their own headline. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It's the Oscars.
So we'll go quickly over some of the best award nominees here. Of course, we'll start off with the Best Supporting Actor. Came out of the gate with Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Mm. Did you guys see that one coming?
Yes, because historically, the Academy Awards, you don't win for the role, you win. You win for your entire career, and Sam Rockwell has had an Academy Award-worthy career, but doesn't have an Academy Award. This one was fine enough. I would argue if we were going on pure merit, it would have been Woody Harrelson. But they don't go on pure merit. They go on you and your story and everything. So it's Sam Rockwell.
I thought he did a really... I'm like, wait, oh, Woody Harrelson. But you know what? Per that film, Woody Harrelson's character has no arc.
Yeah, they just kind of...
That's like, meh. Which is no...
He goes away, yeah.
Which is not a problem, but it's like, I wouldn't give that award winning.
Mm.
But for Sam Rockwell, his character was nice that it is a character that is essentially a total dick at the beginning, but then has some better characteristics later on that you're like, oh, this is like a real person that I can understand. Like, at the beginning, you're like, dude, I hate this dude. And then as time goes on, you're like... All right, fine. I don't totally hate him. And then that is really good character development, and I think he did a great job with it.
Coming in for Best Supporting Actress, we have Allison Janney for I, Tonya.
Yeah. Mm. I thought she did fan-freaking-tastic. I loved her in I, Tonya. And I really loved Margot Robbie as well. But, I thought it was very well-deserved. And she won the SAG, and then she won yesterday at the Spirit Awards. So, totally saw that coming.
Mm.
Would you have liked to see Margot Robbie win Best Actress?
No.
Would you have been satisfied with that if that was the name that was announced?
Yes, but I think Frances deserved it. And her speech,
what?
Though. I mean, that's, yeah, but we won't, yeah.
On we'll Best Supporting Actress, I broke this down as 7 Emmys versus 4 Emmys. Because it was Metcalf had 4 Emmys for Roseanne, and then Allison Janney, I believe, has 7 Emmys all for The West Wing. That can't be right. Some of those have to be for Mother. But the numbers are still correct. That it was Emmys versus Emmys. They're both amazing. They both play similar mom characters. Mm-hmm. I think Allison Janney wins the day here. In spite of the Metcalf character being more of a nuanced, realistic character. Which is funny because that was the one that was made up. Allison Janney played an actual person.
Oh my! And the bird.
Oh, the bird was...
The bird should have gotten like a co-Oscar. You guys have seen...
I've... Like a pet Oscar. There's an animal Oscar.
It's worth it.
Just a little miniature one that could have
just... Yeah, for the little guy. Mm. Or a girl.
They floated that out there before, that you should have
animal actors.
An Academy Award specifically for animals.
I mean, some are definitely better than others.
True that.
Air Bud.
You get the Lifetime Achievement
Homeward
Award.
Bound.
Homeward Bound. Yeah. Yeah.
They all win. I mean, that's best ensemble.
Aww. Aww. Coming in for best actor, we've got Gary Oldman from The Darkest Hour.
Yes.
My mom called me right before the show.
You're close personal friends. I know both of you.
Yeah. Yes. We were
chatted.
There.
Yeah. You know. It was great to see, you know, him come full circle in a way. It's like we saw him at the premiere and no one had really seen it. And then the buzz was buzzing. And then here we are.
And afterwards, the two of you are going to one of his post-Oscar party.
Yeah, we're
we totally got that invite.
Yeah, yeah. He said, like, join me, Amy,
yeah.
Gary,
yeah.
Join me.
Come on over after Box Office Breakdown.
He slid in those DMs. They have the address. They're not telling us.
No, super secret.
No, we have him on speed dial.
Yeah.
Fair.
Best actress, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. We talked a little bit about that.
I think she did great.
Yeah.
Oh, also, wait, sorry, rewind. I do think Gary Oldman did really well in Darkest Hour. I don't think we really... I think he did a great job because some people are like, well, I've only heard stuff about the prosthetics. But I think his performance, I like kind of forgot it was him in there. And he's just really good at transforming himself and being another character.
Although while we're still on Gary Oldman, I need to have a hot take, which is he's talking, and maybe this was him just trying to gain buzz for this role to get this Academy Award. But he's talking about how he wants to play Winston Churchill in more things. It's called The Crown. It already happened. It's on Netflix.
But he would do it differently.
It would be he wants to do sequels to The Darkest Hour because Winston Churchill.
As in, like, The Crown will have Winston Churchill.
I'm saying that Winston Churchill already is integral to The Crown.
Okay.
It already happened.
That
he's trying to do more stuff. He's trying to do more stuff as Winston Churchill. And my hot take is don't bother. You're Gary Oldman. Reinvent yourself.
So it wouldn't be Darkest Hour. Would it be Darker?
Well, I guess you have to have a prequel. We have to have a prequel that's The Dark Hour. Because it's the darkest hour. It's the hour that is darkest. The prequel would be The Dark Hour. But then
it's not as dark. Well, then it's darker. Darkish.
The Dark Day?
Darkish.
And then it's... I mean, you could really do a lot with it.
Yeah. Side note, Carrie if any of you are like, she's like, if any of you are like, what am I looking at? We have a live chat going on.
Nice.
So if you are with us live, feel free to join in. If you're joining us later, comment down below on what your thoughts are on the people who were nominated and who won, should they have won, and who do you think should have won if you don't agree. So we're looking up at what
get
people are saying.
Yeah.
I love that y'all are talking a lot. It's great.
We got best director, Guillermo del Toro.
For yes.
I know Tony beat it. Oh, Tony beat Tony.
Bah, bah, bah,
bah. Air horns.
Yeah.
My God.
Did you shed a tear when you heard that news, Anthony?
Yeah, I cried in my little ice box and then it froze on my face. Yeah.
And then you just sucked it?
And it was, yeah, and I suckled on my tear. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I knew you'd be happy. I was thinking, like, we need to hear what Tony's going to talk about on horror movie news. Well,
oh, yeah,
actually, side note on that, quite a few horror films are technically getting lots of noms and wins. So,
This is a good year for horror. This was a great year for horror films that I really enjoy. If it wasn't Del Toro, I feel like it would have been Nolan or Peele. Nolan, because Christopher Nolan's amazing. Like,
don't even.
As a film, you can say what you want. As a master, as workmanship, you can't deny the work that was in Dunkirk and how clear it was on the screen. And then Jordan Peele overcoming everything to even be, like, to have your very first picture be nominated for screenplay, director, and best picture. And be the third favorite to win best picture. It's kind of incredible.
And won over at the Spirit Awards, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, he was, like, it was Three Billboards, Shape of Water, and Get Out. Those were the three favorites to win heading into tonight.
But also nominated was the lovely Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird. Trying to remember who introduced
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, right? And she said, like, four talented men or whatever, and Greta Gerwig. And I was like, yes! I love it when people say exactly what they're thinking, and I appreciate it. I know that people have their own opinions of, like, politics, but the thing is that we're all influenced by media, and they have opinions too. They're people, so.
Well, speaking of that, we'll jump back to the best actress thing. We touched on it for a moment there, Frances McDormand's speech.
Oh, I did like her speech. I like having all the ladies stand up. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Though you could tell she was emotional, and I was like, her laugh, no offense, was a little annoying.
Well, no, at the beginning when she, I really
like
her.
I was like, is she upset? And I'm like, I know. No, she's just freaking
she's
out.
Like, I have some things to say. And I was like, no.
Ooh. I was like, oh, we're ready. We're because so we've ready. Had so many good epic speeches at award ceremonies, yeah. which everyone's like, well, they're just actors. I'm like, do they have opinions? Yeah, they have opinions too. They're allowed to say them. They just have a bigger microphone than most of the rest of us, which yeah. we have a bigger microphone too. But, haha.
Physically.
But I liked how she said it without being, you know,
preachy, annoying.
Even Del Toro's thing when he was saying, you know, kids are saying and doing things. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, and this is like for everyone.
Yeah, it's every anything. Country, everything.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Which well, I love.
Also, mm-hmm. also there's no way to be Bruce Springsteen about this. To be above the pretentiousness because you're there. So you have to own a certain level of pretentiousness that you're gonna have haters, they're gonna say it's pretentious, and everything you're gonna do is pretentious, you just gotta live your truth. And Frances McDormand came out there and just lived her truth.
I mean, that's what Oprah said at the Golden Globes. Live your truth. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a powerful speech. What are people saying in the chat?
Somebody pointed out somebody didn't stand up, but what lady didn't
Who
stand
did
up?
It?
Yeah, Harry's, I can't read that all, but says it's awkward not seeing her stand up, but who didn't stand up? It looked like all the ladies were standing up and they were so happy.
That doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. but Come whatever. On. I like that moment. It was nice to see yeah. it, and then recognizing other ladies, too. And then it's that thing of, like, a rising tide rises all boats. So it's, like, helping each other out. It's not yeah. just, I won, I'm the best.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's celebrate everybody.
Allison Janney, in her speech, she said, I did this all by myself. No, just kidding. I obviously did yeah. not. And it really is a team effort. And I love seeing when someone wins, their castmates and the crew, everyone is just like, yes, it's a win for everybody, which that's what films are all about. It's about working together to create something that you're all very happy mm-hmm. and proud of and then bringing it to mass. Oh, my gosh, I know. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have, you know, like different locations for it, mm-hmm. You know, like across the pond or everywhere. Yeah.
I did like how Frances said, talk to us, but don't touch us tonight. Actually, yes. come to our offices or we can come to your office, set up yep. a meeting.
We yep. have stuff to say, stories yep. to share.
But like, don't talk to us tonight when we won.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to take you serious. Like,
Just talking to him because you're like, oh, you're the winner.
Like, if I won an Oscar tonight, I wouldn't take anyone seriously who tried to talk to me tonight. Yeah. Like, who's talking to me in 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Who's still, like, I'll set up meetings for a month in advance and see who keeps them. Like, who actually cares about me and my work versus who wants to book the IT thing this week?
Yeah.
Because that happens a lot out here, where it's just like, he just won an Oscar, let's give him the money!
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. could talk a lot about that. Sure. And lastly, the best picture for the evening was Shape of Water. Guillermo del Toro. Bringing it again.
Yes!
I saw most of them. I didn't see all the nominated ones.
So I saw Phantom Thread. Oh, I do want to say, just because I'm very proud of the hard
you
work that
I've... lot.
I yeah. saw 54 out of the 59 nominated.
Woo!
Thank
what
you
were
guys.
The five? What were the five you didn't catch?
No, let's celebrate the ones I did
Sorry,
watch.
No.
What are you talking about?
No, going for the shorter number is all.
I can't even like. There are some that I do want to like share quickly that yeah. people do definitely need to watch.
But more importantly, let's focus on the five you didn't.
On the
see.
Five
like,
that
the ones
I did.
That you weren't worthy of your attention.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here are the ones that you should see. There are a lot of them that are on YouTube/Netflix/Amazon. Maybe even HBO, but I'm not totally sure. Documentary shorts. Edith and Eddie. Ooh! Stabs you right in the heart. Did you see it?
I have.
Oh, my gosh. In that category, Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405. One. So that, obviously, worth a watch because it really touches on people that get overlooked in a way. We focus on one woman, and it's very interesting. Heroin on Netflix, worth a watch. Knife Skills, really cool. But Traffic Stop is also a really, really big one that feels very important with our time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say too much about that one without like telling That's you what, everything. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But literally, that one's really worth a watch. And then the live action shorts. DeKalb Elementary is about guns in schools.
Mm-hmm.
The 11 o'clock, ooh, really trippy. So if you want something trippy, watch that one. My Nephew Emmett is serious. But these last two guys, seriously, The Silent Child, that one, in the award ceremony, you saw that was the woman that was signing. That was so beautiful because it's about this young girl that is deaf, and her parents, well, mainly her mom, doesn't want to really focus on her kind of education about learning how to sign. And so then someone comes in and she's trying to teach her, and it's basically having these kids looked out for. And that's what I love, that Rachel Stenton, I want to say.
That Shenton, sounds correct.
She started signing for everyone, which was great. And then lastly, Watu Wote. Serious but worth the watch as well. Animated shorts, my favorite one was Negative Space. Negative Space is a whole different kind of animation. So it's, you know, like the short ones are very easy to watch. I know I just talked about all the
and
shorts.
And then a lot of theaters are actually showing the shorts as a bracket, anyways. Which you can use for MoviePass.
As
not
one ticket,
Which we'll talk about their shadiness too.
But yeah, I mean, did you guys see Phantom Thread?
Yes.
Phantom Thread was really, it's a different pace. Different pace, but worth watching for what it has to say. It's not going to be the most exciting thing in the world. And it did win for costume design, not because it's about fashion. It's not
a period piece.
It is. Well,
period pieces are always like...
You have to nail it,
period
too.
Period piece or sci-fi or fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously it makes more interesting clothing than day-to-day.
Yeah. Well, Victoria and Abdul did a really good job. But if, you know, I mean, Phantom Thread had to really hit it on the dot. And I think they did really, really well.
Also,
Phantom
Thread for costume design and then Darkest Hour for hair and makeup felt like locks to me, only because I'm like, there's no way you can get nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Those pictures being nominated for Best Picture and then the technical award not win. Like both of them felt like locks for me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something very interesting about these 9 Best Picture nominees, only one is set in 2017.
Get Out?
Get Out is set in 2017. The rest of them are set in another time. Even Lady Bird is set, I believe, in like 2003, 2004.
Good times.
They're all...
We're all being nostalgic.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah.
For Best Animated Feature, Coco won.
Mm.
Sorry, Ferdinand. Oh, boy.
Did you like Ferdinand?
She watched it. She's like, I like... I just don't like that you're tweeting while you're watching it.
Why?
She's like, I'm done.
Oh. I was done. It was like, I'm going to watch this next. I binge.
Okay, I read it as in like, I'm 20 minutes in. This is what I think. And I'm like, whoa. No. Finish the movie before you tweet, girl. Okay.
But Ferdinand pleasantly surprised me. It's not that bad. It's just kind of sweet.
It's just fine.
No, you know what's fine? Boss Baby.
Oh, that's fine. That's less than fine.
Somebody's like, what do you think of Boss Baby?
I think, to be fair, I think Boss Baby catches a bad rap. That it's not as bad a film as people claim. I think in this... The non-winning film that's noteworthy, honorable mention, in this category has to be, for me, Loving Vincent.
Oh, my God.
And I went out of my way to spend money to watch that in a theater because it's the kind of filmmaking I want to see more of and I know I need to support. If you do 12,000 oil paintings to make your movie, I need to go and see your movie and support your movie.
The only thing, I feel like I have hair on my lips. The only thing about Loving Vincent is that it's so freaking gorgeous to see that you almost get lost in just the beautifulness that it is. That the script just doesn't live up to that. And I read a lot of people's.
Although the script is very good, though.
It's good, but when you look
at a face for people listening, it's good.
It's good, but it needs to have you the whole time when it looks that gorgeous. Like 100 artists would work on one frame at a time.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
And I'm not taking away from Breadwinner. Breadwinner, I think, is the more important of the category. I just didn't happen to see that one yet.
Apparently someone's asking if we can get to the box office. Don't worry, we will.
You will.
Guys, Oscars.
Yeah,
it happened.
This is essentially all part of the box office, too, because these were movies that we saw in theaters. And
We've talked about them.
All of these movies are getting... A lot of these movies are in theaters currently, and they're going to get a box office bump
this week.
Or they'll
get a re-release,
Because, like, Shape of Water is currently in theaters, because it had that very much the Oscar release, where you... Like that early December in a couple, in a handful of theaters, and then you slowly burn as you win more awards, you get into more theaters. That now that it's Best Picture, it'll eventually get its wide release. So to bring it back to the show.
And Leslie, the original song was Remember Me from Coco.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I like This Is Me as well. Those were the two.
I think that I really thought This Is Me was going to win, but I am so freaking happy for Remember Me. Because I think it's a... Remember Me has a through line the entire freaking movie that when you hear it at the end, it's just like a stab in the heart that I mean, I obviously have my very strong opinions about Coco, not just as a Hispanic, but just as a person that really enjoyed the movie. So yeah, to see this... Remember Me win was really surprising, though. I didn't think we were. But yay! We.
Yeah, so you got a piece of that?
What do you mean?
That Oscar?
Oh, you know. They sent it virtually. Just emotionally.
Understood.
It's a win for all of us, all right. in a way.
Yeah. I gotta say, that was the most surprising win for me. Because really? I thought This Is Me was like a shoe-in. Like, no questions. But I did want Coco to win. And when I heard it, I was just like, I was surprised and happy. I was surprised first and then happy.
I'm too hardcore onto betting websites to not know that it was kind of a coin flip between those two. But I would say, comparatively to this, This Is Me in performance tonight versus Remember Me, I think This Is Me kind of like killed it.
Performance-wise. Oh, I was hearing good stuff about them online.
Like, it was just really well performed tonight.
Yes.
And I think it's kind of unfair because... Remember Me. They both end in me. It's kind of confusing. Like, I keep thinking I'm going to mess it up. They both end that Remember Me was made for an animated feature, whereas This Is Me was made to be performed at the Dolby Theater in front of everyone. So it is unfair. Okay.
I feel just in general, too, like, This Is Me has just so much more energy to the music, while Remember Me is so somber and so... You know, it has to deal with the theme of death, while This Is Me is more about, like, recognizing your worth as a person and like going out and showing the world what you're made of.
They're both important.
Yeah.
They're both important, but I mean, saying that it's not. Yes, like the performance was. I feel like the performance was missing a little bit of something for Remember Me at the award ceremony, but seeing those dancers with those big skirts that I lived in Mexico for 4 years, and that was so freaking accurate. I was like, never in my mind did I think that I would see those kinds of dancers on an Oscar stage. Like, what? That was just crazy to me. So I just kept watching and thinking, like, wow. So people that are watching in all kinds of countries, everywhere, if they have access to the Oscars, all that, they must be like, whoa, that's different. And that's what I appreciate. That's also what I appreciate about shorts and foreign language films, is that they're so freaking different that I appreciate, because it's like, you know, we see sequels all the time. I'm like, okay, it's the same old thing.
It's just their different, you know, cultural backgrounds, different legends, beliefs, whatever. And then that's refreshing because it's a different way to tell stories.
Agreed.
And then even how they do their movies sometimes, they're just... different format.
I mean, yeah, like On Body and Soul, Hungary's film was so different. I was like, wait, what are we doing? Okay, I am with it. Let's keep rolling. So, I mean, definitely if you're able to, On Body and Soul is on Netflix. So give that one a watch. A Fantastic Woman won in that category.
Nice. Also, shout out to my neighbor Daryl Jim, who was a dancer on the This Is Me performance, was invited. In my building, there's a pretty big Oscars bash that he commented this morning. Like, hey guys, I'll try to make it there, but I work tonight.
Yeah.
And then we see him on the Oscars. It's like, just, man,
that's nice. That's funny.
Would you like that performance better if she had wore the beard? As she's saying.
Okay, so I saw her and I was like, dang girl, you look so good. You look great with the beard, you look great without it. But I was like, this is interesting. Because at first it took me a little second to be like, that's...
There was the behind the scenes clip where you get to see her in the workshopping.
Neil
was talking about
we
that.
Send
that's
you links.
Gorgeous. It's like, you're going to cry. You're
that's
like,
right.
Oh,
everybody
gosh.
Watching, send the tweet Amy
tweet,
those links.
Tweet Amy that link.
Yes.
I mean, but also like, tweet me pictures of you watching or listening to Remember Me. Just like,
great.
That's what I want. I just
tweet
want
Amy
a picture
all the
of
things.
Your tears. Yeah.
All right. So, guys, you know, we talked about the Oscars, broke all that down, filled your heads with knowledge, but you also want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we have got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that you heard about it from us. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
And she was there today on the carpet, so I really enjoyed her Insta stories. I was like, hey. Yeah.
So as everybody's been clamoring there in the chat, what about these numbers for this weekend from the box office? We're going to hop right into that now. Number one, Black Panther. Another $65.7 million.
I finally saw it this weekend.
Oh my gosh, what are your thoughts?
I'm actually kind of with Frank. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
I loved it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, good.
I'll take up for this side of the table.
I was watching the movie, and I was enjoying it. I think it's visually stunning. Representation in so many different ways, just from people of color to women with like short hair. Because there were some tweets I saw about that they were like, the women in this are complained that they look masculine. They're like, why is it? Because it's a black woman who has like her shaved head. It's like nobody complained about Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok. And she's a woman and she's battle, but she has hair. So it's like, I was like, oh, that's a great point. And so that way, all the women are great. I actually loved the little sister the best.
Shuri?
Kiari?
Yeah.
Shuri.
Sorry. I was like, ugh. I think she was like my favorite character that stuck with me after because she's just so adorable and fun.
I want her to have a show on ABC, a 30-minute comedy on ABC.
She's
just
more
her in that lab
that.
Fixing white boys.
She deserves more.
I think plot-wise, it was fine. Like, there was nothing crazy new. So the things I didn't really like is bad guy was 0 to 60 with nothing in between. Pedal to the metal, no... I felt he was just... I'm evil, angry the whole time, and I was like, I don't know.
But they gave us his stakes up top. That the zero, he wasn't zero. Yeah, he was zero to 60 to us, but he lived his entire life building to build it. We meet him.
But I don't care. He's just angry the whole time.
How did Sterling K. Brown not bring you in?
No, he didn't. No.
What?
Sterling K. Brown, though. That tear. He can control them.
How many hundreds of millions in box office money do you think that tear brought to this film?
I mean, I didn't go to it because of him.
Well,
you
told people about it.
But I did have a friend make a good point that at least it's not a Marvel villain trying to destroy the universe. Where I'm like, okay, that's a good point. That's not a villain that's like such grand stakes. Like, he's going to go for that.
Yeah.
But I didn't care about him. I also, the betrayal of like his pseudo best friend, like, well, you didn't kill the guy who killed my family, but I'm going to help the dude who is child of the people who killed my family. But we're going to ignore that because I don't know about that. I was just like, wow, that's a quick betrayal on your bestie. I felt like they were besties. And so I'm like, whoa. And it's not like I'm done trying to kill this person. I just got back today. Mm-hmm. It didn't work because someone helped him. But let's pretend that. I was like, he's not done looking for this evil villain. So it's like, nope, you're not doing what I want. Done. I'm like, So that was kind of annoying. So I liked it, and I was just bummed that I wasn't as excited. I really was. Because I was watching the movie, I'm like, oh, this is cool. But after, I didn't have that euphoric way. But I was telling Frank before this that I'm like, well, it's kind of like how Coco was for a community. Black Panther is for a community, too, in terms of it is representing and shows something that hasn't really been shown the same way before. And so those who are so connected to it obviously are far more excited, which is totally fine if you feel that or don't.
Because
I didn't feel that way when Coco came out either. I wasn't like, oh, I really liked it. I thought it was really good. Same thing, Black Panther's really good. I liked it, but I wasn't like.
But see, I find that interesting because obviously I'm not African American. And I felt.
What?
What? I felt just the same with Black Panther as I did with Coco. Like, just that amount of, like, yes! Just, like, this is what we needed, this is what we have, and I'm so glad it's here. Which, that's interesting.
And I've heard some complaints on special effects being a little too green-screeny.
I was going to point out that those rhinos looked a little weird.
The rhinos are a little weird.
They look
and
cool.
Then the final fight, like, in the underground... But that didn't really bother me because I'm like, it's comic book movie. I'm okay with it being over the top. But yeah.
What about the music?
Oh, yeah. No, music's great, too. Again,
that didn't pump you up either. Like, all of it together just form a lovely little.
It's probably, like, the best Marvel film
But also, I wasn't freaking out about Thor Ragnarok 2, even though that was the last one out that people were freaking out to. So,
I mean, this compared to Thor, Black Panther wins hard for
pretty
me.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, because there's, like, stakes to... There's stakes to Black Panther. Because there's no guarantee that he keeps Wakanda. Whereas Thor Ragnarok, for all I enjoyed it, you walk into Thor Ragnarok knowing, so he gets out of this and winds up on top of the Guardian shuttle, because they've showed me that already. And like, it's not, like, the stakes just aren't there. That's not what we're there for.
I guess another thing too is it's not like, okay, anybody can connect to any movie. Like, mistaking that. Anybody can. I just think if there's something personal, like, for example, if you saw a movie, personal one. I'll get personal on y'all. I rewatched part of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Mm-hmm. I did not cry really the first time I saw it. I bawled my eyes out the second time because my dad died, and watching this dad die, I was like, like tears. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it's a different time when you watch it too. So people connect to different movies in different ways is what I was saying.
Got it.
I just don't want anybody to be like, oh my God, I didn't like it. I'm like, no, I liked it, but. I wanted to love it, but I was like. I let it simmer too. I'm like, all right, maybe it just hasn't.
Also, just to one point on Killmonger as a villain, he's one of the best Marvel villains because we can agree with his. Like, I think one of the criticisms people had of Killmonger was you could agree with his motives. Where it's like, no, he's kind of right.
Yeah, he has a great point, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not bad on his thought process.
That's the best villain for me, where, like, it's like,
you're not crazy. Yeah, yeah, like, you're not wrong. Like, oh my gosh, you're stupid or crazy.
Like, Hans Gruber, I'm like, I don't like your methods. You ain't wrong, though. Yeah. Get that money.
Well, see, what I like is that you went and you saw it and you added money to the box office.
I did.
Look at
that.
There
you go.
Coming in number two, Red Sparrow from Fox, $17 million straight up. Also the subject of last week's box office bet. We had Neil, myself, Anthony, and Amy betting. Mm-hmm. Neil bet 20, Amy and myself bet 13, Anthony, $16 million. Finally,
did I get a win? Oh snap! What? I won.
You are oh the winner.
Did they give it to? Is he back there with it?
I just checked.
Right. You just put it on.
There you go.
Coronation.
Yeah, $16 million. That's right. That's what I bet, and I won. I'm so happy.
Look at you.
You feel happy. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
You'll celebrate by going to see the movie, right?
Of course. Yeah.
This is also the Jennifer Lawrence that said she couldn't make it through 10 minutes of Phantom Thread. Just throw a little bit of that shade at her.
Dang.
It's not for everyone.
Somebody was pointing out if I knew that at the beginning of the movie that it was
a flashback.
Yeah. No, I did. I think it's good that the movie makes you think it's not our main character, or makes you think it's our main character. But I'm like, no, it's not.
Well, we know he was born in Wakanda.
Well, the narration at the beginning, you don't know where they are.
True. Okay, yeah.
And it's our standard hero movie thing that you're going to think it's our main character. So that's an easy bait and switch on, like, most movies. So, yes, I knew it was them. Like, maybe not when it was happening, because I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. It's a dad talking to a kid. Like, it's... And then later you go, oh.
Mm.
But then that was fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's number three?
Coming to number three, Death Wish from MGM. A little over $13 million. Now, as we were kind of mentioning with MoviePass, some dealings, shady business. Yeah, the way they kind of approached that, where in some markets, Red Sparrow was kind of blacked out as opposed to be able to go in and go see that film in a selection of different cities. Mm-hmm. Something to Death Wish, they're also kind of limited in some exposure for some cities as well, too. So,
And I've seen some of the screenshots. It looks like what they're doing is in certain markets, they're deciding that they're going to claim a showing is unavailable.
Yep.
For no other reason than they can.
Yep.
Because they're trying to create data that, like, we can literally influence what people watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how other MoviePass users use MoviePass. If I'm going to see Death Wish and it's at a movie theater and it says it's not supported, I'm just scrolling all the way down and saying movie not available. Or, like, the very bottom
and
part.
And it's working for
you?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, good to know.
The tech... Yeah. I'm not going to reveal too much, but that button, all the tech is, I'm actually not revealing much. All that tech is that it's putting money on a MasterCard. So that's all you're doing. It's using the GPS on your phone to authorize money on a MasterCard, and then you use the money on the MasterCard.
Right. So, or I would just see something else. Or I was more angry about it that they were pushing. So in Los Angeles, Red Sparrow was blocked out. But Death Wish, they were like, hey, go see that. And I'm like, I'm purposefully not going to go see that now. because you did that. I was interested before, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to wait. Also, so I saw Annihilation instead.
Also, I saw a screenshot, I think it was from Thursday or Friday, that I think Black Sparrow was blacked out, and right above it was all 9 Best Picture nominees, and it's a $65 ticket to that AMC.
Yeah, I saw that your post about that.
That mm-hmm. was supported, and then the one below it was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? the movie pass.
Mm. Yusuf said MoviePass would only let me see Red Sparrow at theaters that did e-ticketing.
So really? That's,
okay, yeah.
But once again, you can just put money on the card and buy a ticket.
Amy Cassandra's face speaks volumes.
I mean, I was bummed because I was like, don't tell me what to do. But I was like, well, it's fine because I need to watch all these Oscar movies anyway. But yeah, I hope they don't do it again anytime soon. I don't remember them doing it in the past.
Oh, no, I think this is kind of one of the first things they're doing.
This is the first outright on-the-app shadiness I've seen. Yeah. It was fairly recently that they sent a straight-up email advertisement for a film. I believe a film that came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
That the romantic comedy thing that wasn't very good, I didn't want to see. They sent out an email about that like a month ago. Of like, Steve, we have a romantic comedy for you. And then I realized they sent that email to literally every MoviePass member.
Yeah.
In an attempt to spike.
It's like you're going to see what you want to see.
I mean, like, I guess if it's a movie that most people haven't heard of, like, I get them being like, here, this is going to be out in theaters just for you. Oh, thank you. Yeah. There's billboards everywhere, but thank you. Mm-hmm.
But you think don't people would see it anyways? Because it's like, okay, you only got Friday night off. Red Sparrow's not available. Death Wishes. All right, honey, you want to go see this instead? But then again, they're different kind of movies. No. They're different kind of movies.
No, I mean, if
they're
something...
They're kind of the same movie. Well, demographically, they're the same. They're direct competition to each other for the weekend. No.
I mean, if I'm not pumped about the movie, I'm not going to see it. I'm going to be like, you know what? I want to go to a restaurant instead. You know, I don't want... MoviePass telling me what to do.
Well,
so I'm not going to do it.
And I think as someone who understands advanced like consumer algorithms, it kind of offends me that it's this basic. Because that's super basic. Like, you have enough data to know what I'm watching and when I'm watching that you can custom tailor a movie directly for me, like a movie suggestion every time I open the app. And you're not doing that. What you're doing is just like, LA is not going to get to see Red Sparrow and Des Moines is. Like, we're just going to pick winners in different markets and see if we affect the box office.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder about next week, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, is rush it of one people. Week? Is it just opening weekend they're blacking out? Or is it going to be 2 weeks? Because then I'm like, I'll just see it later. I'll go see it on a cheaper day. Or you just get Regal and you get your points and then go see it with your points.
Yep.
Get
that free popcorn, too.
Yeah, I don't
not
know.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
I'm also curious to see how their user base... Their overall user base responds to this. Like, is it actually working as a standard A-B test? Or are people outright rebelling like I'm suggesting? I
would like to try your theory.
I'm curious which will work. We will talk.
Yeah. We'll see.
Coming in number 4, Game Night from Warner Brothers. Another $10.7 million.
This looks really fun. I haven't seen it yet.
Another revival.
I think it could be hit or miss. It's one of those, like, it could be really funny.
I've heard from a lot of people it's really funny.
That's what I've been hearing. Yeah. In the comedy community, I've been hearing it's very
like
good.
Unexpectedly funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was more interested, actually, after I saw the trailer. Like, at first, I'm like, what is this movie? Then I'm like, all right, that looks kind of interesting.
I wanted to see it from the beginning, but I haven't.
It's
end of story. You have not that
great,
exciting.
Great story, Amy.
You have from now to the end of anytime a movie comes out, you have from now to the end of time to watch that movie. Like, there's zero pressure.
That's deep.
That's true. That's except deep. For Top Gun. Everybody has to see that quickly, right?
Who stands by Top Gun? Okay.
There you go.
It's not in the top 5, but I did see Annihilation that came out a while ago. But wait, did you?
Yeah, I have not seen Annihilation. That also looks
very
good.
I've heard good things.
It's great.
Did you step into the shimmer and enjoy it?
I liked
the glimmer.
It. Shimmer. No.
I know. I call it glimmer. I always mix it up with glimmer. My bad.
I thought it was good. I wasn't blown away. I was looking on Twitter. Like, I always like to see online what people are saying about a movie after I watch it. Because I'm like, what's the general consensus of what people are saying? Most people are definitely very thrilled by it. Visually, yes, stunning. I think it's really cool that it's like this female team going in and it's weird shit that goes down and there's some weird like monster creature visual stuff. Some really creepy elements with that. So that was good. There's like one part that really is like creepy with a particular creature thing. I didn't think any of it was so like existential crazy. Like there's some people like, oh my gosh. I'm like, no, I got it. I'm good. I'm not sitting there going confused or like, oh my life, what am I doing? I was like, I don't know. There's some people like talk about that.
Well, there's some people. I think every week there's a movie where someone will claim will claim it's The Matrix.
And you're like,
where it's like, man, I just rethink the whole world.
Man,
after I saw Boss Baby.
And you're like,
Boss Baby, open my eyes, man.
Yeah. Yep. So I think it's pretty darn cool, but I think for the visual, see it on the big screen, but maybe see the matinee.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like, oh, would I wait for Netflix? I'm like, no, for like the visual quality of it, I would give it to the big screen. But I'd probably do more matinee or MoviePass.
Definitely MoviePass if you have it. Yes. They're not our sponsors.
And running out of top five, Peter Rabbit from Sony, $10 million.
Has anyone seen this?
I have not. I've heard it's not bad though.
No, I'm glad it's in the top five.
Yeah.
Good for them.
How is Paddington doing?
People are loving Paddington.
I love Paddington so much.
Still at 100, I'm sure.
It fell off.
So, folks, we're going to be doing our box office bet, and we've got three films of contention for you for next week. It's going to be Gringo, A Wrinkle in Time, and, of course, The Hurricane Heist, which that trailer...
I was going to say, there's something else there. He's like, nope.
I haven't heard anything of the
Hurricane Heist. Oh, I mean, watch the trailer.
You're excited?
I think it's gonna be just like a trashy, goofy, fun film to watch.
So you're gonna be there. First thing.
That's right.
Hurricane Heist.
Yeah. To show you the demographic they're looking for. I was at a wrestling event in Las Vegas last Sunday, and in the lobby of the T-Mobile Arena, they were doing they had a whole kiosk advertising Hurricane Heist. Just to let you know who they're going for. They're going for the Death Wish Red Sparrow audience. That's for Hurricane Heist.
The biggest amount of money they spent on that promotion was probably that event right there.
Probably.
So feel free to chime away in the chat which film you'd like us to bet on and for the box office bet. But before we do that, though, we're going to look and see what we think our top five next week will be. So Gringo's going to be opening up on 2,400 screens, The Hurricane Heist on 2,500, and A Wrinkle in Time in 3,800 screens.
I'm going to go with Wrinkle in Time number one.
That's a big question. Yeah. Will it be number one, or will Black Panther be able to hold it off?
I think Wrinkle.
It's been Black Panther's been out for a little bit of time. That you know, most people have seen it already and seen multiple times, which is fantastic. But I think there's also big hype right now for Wrinkle Time. Which also there's a weird thing going on right now where people are comparing them, and it's like stop.
Just watch them.
Don't do it.
Stop doing it. One's like younger family, and then the other is Marvel superhero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different movies.
People are definitely talking about, that it is for a certain kind of demographic that Wrinkle in Time is. So to look at it like that.
I read the book. That's just purely casting. So side note on that, I read the book. Her character is not visually really described at all. She's described as wears glasses, and she has like curly, unruly hair. Like that's about the only thing that gives her description. And then her mom's beautiful. They don't go like, my mother has like long, black, shiny hair, or my mom is blonde. So when I first saw the casting, I was like, oh, but it totally works. The only thing that I thought was a little bit weird is the boy who plays her brother. I'm like, he doesn't look anything like her. But then they gave him a white dad. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That totally makes sense now. Because I was like, her dad's a big part of it too. So I think it's very interesting they went with that casting. And also for the Ms. What's It? Who, what, and it. That's it. They all have interesting names. Those are Oprah, Mindy, and
Reese.
Thank you. but yeah, they look awesome. So I'm really curious. Though I'm really curious even more because watching the trailer after reading the book, I'm like, there's a lot of this that's not in the book. But I'm really excited to be like, well, what did you add?
I think it's number one.
I'm going to go with number one.
I think it's number one, then Black Panther.
Yeah.
More importantly, where do we think The Hurricane Heist is going to fall? Will it make our top five?
Yes.
All right.
Because I don't think there's any staying power to Death Wish or Red Sparrow, and that's who they're going after. So whoever saw Red Sparrow and Death Wish this weekend are going to see The Hurricane Heist or Black Panther again this weekend because there's nothing else for them. They're not going to see Gringo. There might be some gap for Date Night. Date Night might stay in the top five just because they'll probably split that audience with Hurricane Heist people.
I'll be curious about Gringo because I've seen the trailer.
I'll make a hot take. I think Date Night will do better than Gringo.
You mean Game Night?
Sorry, yes. No worries. Sorry, I will. Game Night will do better.
Steve Carell, Tina Fey classic is coming back.
It's re-released. Yes. It's going to do better. Re-released 10 screens. Going to do better than Gringo in 2,400 screens.
Well, okay, then if Black Panther dropped 41%, let's say it drops, we'll go higher. We'll go 50.
So 30.
Or so it's around the 30. So if Wrinkle got 35 to 40, it could be number one.
Yeah.
I think it'll.
It's a family film, a live action. So, and then Peter Rabbit did pretty well.
And
so.
I mean, people love this is a book. Them,
for I mean,
sure.
Peter Rabbit is a book too.
What was Peter Rabbit's opening? I'm clicking that right now. Peter Rabbit's was.
Oh, no, that's up to
Peter Rabbit's opening was 25. Yeah. I think it'll. Wrinkle in Time will do better than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I don't think Peter's going to stay. I'm not sure about Game Night, but I think, I mean, Red Sparrow and Death Wish might still be one, two.
No.
If not, then they'd be easily replaced by Gringo. And
also, Red Sparrow's not going to stay in 3,000 screens either. Red Sparrow's going to drop to easily 2,200 screens. It's going to drop about 800 screens. Death Wish, about the same. They're going to split 10 million next week, where they did 17 and 13 this week.
Do you think this other horror movie is going to make the list?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, we're good.
Ken Jack goes with Wrinkle in Time, Black Panther, Red Sparrow, Game Night, and then Strangers.
Two. What about? Oh, you said Gringo. No, you didn't. You don't have Gringo.
Gringo does not look like something people are going to go see. It looks like something jammed down our throats. It looks like something we're all very well aware is happening. I don't think it's as four-walled as they think it is.
I mean, so it's going to be Wrinkle in Time, possibly, then Black Panther. The jump from the second spot to the third is going to be large. And then just like that, it's not saying much if it's in the third spot or also, fourth spot or fifth.
I'm trying to think.
You know what? I kind of,
4 million.
Also, Jack, I kind of think I agree with you, Ken Jack. I like the idea that Wrinkle in Time, I definitely think that one's going to do really well.
Yeah.
Black Panther, absolutely hang on to second. Red Sparrow, maybe that will change if those blackouts from MoviePass change. And then Game Night, raunchy adult, more comedy. I mean, not necessarily raunchy, quote unquote, but you know, like that. Definitely people like that. And then horror movies do generally pretty well. And Strangers, first one, people really liked it. So
also don't vote out the Oscar bumps because The Shape of Water was currently 12th That's this true. Week in the box office, and it was only in I think it looks like 800 screens. It winning 4 Oscars tonight. I think they would bump that at least 1,000 screens. That's true. It had an 18% jump.
It'll be the wild card.
This week, and then also 3 Billboards, Call Me By Your Name, The Post, Phantom Thread, Darkest Hour, I, Tonya, Lady Bird. These are all in the theaters currently. That'll knock a lot of the business out on the top 10.
Yeah.
Are you excited about seeing Strangers Pray By Night?
I never saw the first one. I just know it's pretty popular.
Hmm.
All right. Ooh.
You never saw the first one, Anthony?
I've been meaning to. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Wow. But so I think it could be the fate for it for this weekend at the box office.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch Strangers 2, though. It's a horror movie.
Yeah, right. I know you would be. Zaius Bilou says Black Panther, Wrinkle in Time, Red Sparrow, Game Night, and then Gringo.
I don't see Red Sparrow staying in the top 5.
Well, yeah. Gringo. I don't know. I don't want to underestimate Gringo. Yeah.
And Harry's comparing it to Golden Compass or Narnia. Yeah. Oh, no. Wrinkle in Time, Golden Compass, and Narnia. Whew. So different books. And I've read all those books.
But
too.
I think, like, genre-wise, like, box office-wise, that's kind of the box you have to put them in. Like, family action adventures.
Yeah, but those are super more on the fantasy side. Wrinkle in Time is not that kind of fantasy.
Yeah, but it's still under the fantasy genre. I think it's comparable. Box office-wise, it's comparable. Genre or content-wise, it's not.
Okay. Fair. Maybe.
All right, so
Strangers is not going to... It's going to make top 10, not top 5.
But I do... I think the Oscars could be the wild card changers. Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely clear out a lot. There will be at least 3 Best Picture nominees in the top 10 next week.
Okay.
Because you get that Oscar bump.
What are your 5?
I think it's going to stay exactly the same.
Wrinkle in Time?
Not even to make the top 5. Sorry, guys. Peter Rabbit's holding on strong. I could see. I guess Wrinkle in Time. I wish I had much more enthusiasm for it to be number one, but
it looks like it's going to be really good.
I've heard mixed things about it.
It looks like that Disney
Golden Compass. No, somebody says, are they all like kids entering new world? No,
no. I think Disney doesn't like to fail on these kind of movies though. Whereas, yeah, Black Panther had a lot going for it. Whereas Wrinkle in Time, I'm trying to think historically when Disney's had a movie this size, like this budget, this advertising budget.
Yeah.
When was the last time it failed? And I believe it was, what was the one where it was the guy from Mars?
John Carter.
John Carter. I think, correct me if I'm wrong.
John Carter had the worst marketing campaign, yeah, but it's a really good movie.
Flopped box office wise. And I think that was, correct me if I'm wrong, if you include Marvel and Star Wars, the last time Disney would fail on that level would have been John Carter.
Yeah.
And Wrinkle in Time is marketing-wise and budget-wise on that level.
They've been doing really good like outreach stuff, true, which is like winning all those feels points. Like, here, we're doing a special screening. And I mean this sincerely. I'm sorry if that, I'm like, that sounded really like meh. No, I think it's amazing they're doing these special screenings for students who, you know, like otherwise probably couldn't afford to go to the movies. Mm-hmm. And so that is getting people going, oh, yay, and like wanting to support it more. So I think that's fantastic.
They let a whole movie theater watch it tonight. And then interrupted them with the Oscars? How dare they?
Well, they had one. They had the Compton screening. Yeah. They set up, like, they made a movie theater for them.
Also, something, someone from our chat named, I came, I saw, I left. Said Oprah.
So he's not here to hear it.
Hey,
so.
What's
Oprah
up?
Is the cash cow. And yeah, I think people love Oprah. People love Reese Witherspoon. People love Mindy Kaling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, that's going to bring some people to the theaters.
And it's
like you.
Like me, obviously.
Chris Pine.
Yeah. Not Hemsworth.
They're playing a dad, so he's a little different.
And
that character's not in it a whole time.
Which you can tell
from the trailer. Yeah.
But it's also like that cash cow in terms of wanting to see her act.
I mean,
yeah, no, she's a bad actress. She's an attraction.
It's oh, cool. Oprah's in the movie. Cool. We should maybe see it. Maybe. Do you want to? Yeah, let's do it.
Because Oprah's not in any movies. So if Oprah's
I've
in a movie.
I've never had that conversation in my life.
I mean, I haven't either because it's just movies. Let's go.
But her and then Disney and then this book lends so much credibility.
Yeah.
And then this marketing campaign complete with good outreach. Do I get to bet? Because I think I can come up with a decent number.
Well, it depends on what the chance is.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how the bets work.
Wait, did you do your top five?
My top five are going to be Wrinkle in Time, Black Panther. Wrinkle in Time, Black Panther, I had it and then I lost it. I think Peter Rabbit gets knocked out. I think Gringo does not make the top five. I think Hurricane Heist comes in fourth. Third, I think actually The Shape of Water will jump up to fourth, and fifth will be Hurricane Heist, although I said it wasn't. Those are my top five. It was a weird stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Amy, did you say yours?
Yeah, a while ago. Yes. But
just
I
making
don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our box office bet, everybody. Depending on the chat, Ken Jack usually is a good collection of the votes for us. We'll see if he chimes in there. But in the meantime, though, the box office bet, for those of you watching, or Steve, who's joining us for the first time, we're all going to bet on what we think. Whichever film the chat room bets on, or says that the votes are for, we'll bet on what the opening box office gross will be.
Okay.
Person that's closest gets to have the bragging rights, and the loser has to go see that film and tell us all about it.
All right.
Ken Jack says Wrinkle in Time 1.
Okay. Wrinkle in Time. So, of course, from Disney, opening up there on 3,800 screens. Seems like everybody's looking at that as their number one film for the week. But just how much of a number one will it be?
They're all guesses, guys, please.
You're not dialed in?
So, Black Panther did $202 million, and that was 4,000 screens. This isn't going to be Black Panther.
No.
But it's not going to be It's not going to be 204,000ths. I'm not great with the math. It's not going to be 204,000ths the movie of Black Panther. Less of that movie with Black Panther. I'm going to say...
Oh, no, don't say it out loud yet.
Oh, sorry.
Don't say it out loud yet.
Yep.
Ken Jack says 39. Star Drew says 41. I maybe went a hair high, but... Right. I'd rather go that and... I was right for Black Panther, though.
Look at you, yes.
I was like, ha! Nisa says 65, and that's overperform. Okay. Courtney says 36. Zaya says 45.
Amy, as always, secure in her bet. Are you good to go?
No, not quite. We're not twinsies, but.
No, I don't show it yet.
No.
Because we got to go Anthony first.
All right.
Okay, I was about to say, am I still in this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, absolutely.
He's reigning champion.
Two more seconds.
All right.
One.
Just dead air for you with the two seconds. Two.
Got it. Am I ready? All right. Yeah. I am ready.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah.
Check in with yourself, Anthony. Let us know.
I'm going to do $37 million.
All right, very all right. Nice. Steve, as our newcomer here.
All right. I may be showing my lack of 70. I'm just going to say it, 78.
Nice. Ooh. All right, going big. I always applaud somebody that goes big.
50? 47.
I went with 40 myself.
All right. Okay. We're all aiming pretty big.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
There you go.
My number is live.
Yeah.
It is out there, Steve. There's no taking it back.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes, this is
the opposite of Price is Right, where you say $1.
They changed it. We had people bug us. They're like, you can't like go down the line. We all have to show at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then they're like, you're changing it.
I would totally change it if... No, I wouldn't.
Lies.
I never did, but whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. As always, folks, thanks for watching us. Thanks for joining in the live chat. You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up. 2 thumbs up, 3 thumbs up, 4 thumbs up. However many thumbs up you can put in there. Look at that. Get those thumbs going. And, of course, if you're watching the show after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. Carrie Lane will have this delightful question for you to answer.
Which of the Oscar winners were your favorite this season? In terms of the films. So which film won? Well, I guess you could say...
Best Picture nominee?
No, not just Best Picture. Any category. So if it's a Best Actor, Best Actress, whatever film they were in. So.
But don't talk about editing. We don't care about your best editing.
No. Somebody was bummed that... Joelle was bummed that Baby Driver didn't win for editing. So that counts too. So any of those.
All right. Yeah. Cool. And if you want to continue the conversation with any of us, even after the show's off the air, Steve, where can they find you?
They can find me right here, right now, but also on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Also on the Netflix Picks show with the lovely Amy.
Hi. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And you can find me.
This is it. The big unveiling, everybody. What you've been waiting for.
On all social media, at Amy Cassandra, MTZ. Anthony, help me come up with this. Please don't judge me. It's an M, it's a T, and it's a Z.
That was good branding. That was good branding. Don't back
down. Psycho.
That was good branding. Don't back down. That was good branding. That's where we're finding you.
It's cool, and it's all the same.
I'm already following you.
Just for you guys.
It's great.
Hopefully.
It's adorable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Carrie. Hey, guys. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
That's what we waited for.
But yes,
that's what we waited for.
You're just jealous, Frank. It's okay.
Okay. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, thanks for joining us. Yay! We'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Until then, go see some movies.
Eat some popcorn.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.